On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes,
good old boy Dave's older brother,
KP,
Kevin, otherwise known as KP, was on a road trip to through South Dakota and was thoughtful enough to bring us some beer from South Dakota.
The beers we'll be tasting and discussing today are from Remedy Brewing Company in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We have the Heffy Metal, Bavarian style Hefeweizen Ale.
Excellent beer name.
Indeed. The Queen Bee Imperial Honey Cream Ale.
That's
also
good.
Very descriptive. Okay? From Sturgis Brewing Company in Sturgis, South Dakota, the Black Hills Blonde Ale and the Red Cut Red Amber. And then from Crow Peak Brewing Company in Spearfish, South Dakota, the 11th Hour IPA and the Canyon Cream Ale.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone. Here we are for yet another sud segment where we say beers are like bikers. If you know what's good for you, you'll stay away from the one percenters. Ooh, was that a little too political? Maybe not. I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana, and joining me at the table today is...
One percenters, man.
I know. Good old boy Kendall. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I am good.
Great. Me too.
Good old boy Drew.
I am the 99%.
Good. Are you...
He's in the 99th percentile.
He is in the 99th percentile.
Yes. For certain things.
For beards.
Yeah.
And voices.
Yes.
Yeah. And knowing stuff.
And knowing stuff.
Or yeah. Being confidently incorrect.
Though I'm scared the fact that he's like looking at these things that are not part of the episode. But anyways.
Wait. Is he looking at you?
I was trying to lazy Susan.
Okay.
Jeez.
Thank you. Oh. Thank you for being the hostess with the mostest. Good old boy Dave, hi.
What? So how did it become a lazy Susan in the first place?
It's always been a lazy Susan.
Right, but what did Susan do? I mean, why couldn't it be
I don't
like
know
a,
who Sue was to start the revolution.
Like a lazy, lazy but, Tammy or a lazy Deborah?
I think Susan is best.
Some guy built it for his wife because she wouldn't hand him the mashed potatoes.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Pass me the mashed potatoes. Come get them.
Or maybe Susan invented it.
Oh, because she didn't want to pass the mashed potatoes.
So let me just twirl this. Yes.
Spin this around.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, recently, good old boy Dave, who has more than just himself in his family,
wow,
his,
more
his
than
older,
one.
I know there's more than one.
That's so profound.
Well, he has an older brother, which we affectionately call him KP. I mean, his name is Kevin, but anyways. So KP came back from a trip to South Dakota, and not being a beer drinker himself, he was still extraordinarily thoughtful enough to grab a few local beers and bring back for us to try.
Cheers, KP.
Cheers.
Thanks, buddy.
Cheers. Was he out there for Sturgis?
No, his fiance is from around those parts. So go and kind of check it out every year.
Nice.
Go to Mount Rushmore. And
people are from South Dakota. They just don't go visit there for motorcycle rallies?
Well, that's why there's nobody in South Dakota, because all the people there go other places.
Okay. Good old boy Drew, why don't you tell us today's lineup?
The beers we'll be tasting and discussing today are from Remedy Brewing Company in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We have the Heffy Metal, Bavarian style Hefeweizen Ale, and
excellent beer name.
Indeed. The Queen Bee Imperial Honey Cream Ale.
That's
also
good.
Very descriptive. You okay? Some technical difficulties. From Sturgis Brewing Company in Sturgis, South Dakota, the Black Hills Blonde Ale and the Red Cut Red Amber. And then from Crow Peak Brewing Company in Spearfish, South Dakota, the 11th Hour IPA and the Canyon Cream Ale.
I have to imagine a place called Spearfish, South Dakota. It's just a bunch of badass people who are just like tough.
Do you spearfish in South Dakota? I thought that was an ocean thing.
Well, they do it because they can, not because they need to.
I forget what's in Spearfish, but it has some history around it.
Crow's Peak.
Yeah, I haven't been out there since I was a child, so I don't remember a lot about South Dakota. It's a cool place to visit, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, good old boy Drew. That was perfect. Good old boy Kendall, why don't you give us these suds ratings for today?
All right. Number one, that sucks. Give me anything but a crotch rocket. Number two, was that a bug or a small bird that just hit me in the face at 60 miles an hour?
Ow. Ouch, hey, right.
It happens. I hit a turkey vulture once on my motorcycle.
Oh, my what?
Luckily, he got the windshield, and I didn't really take the brunt of it. But yeah, it happens.
Holy cow.
Number three. Ah, what a relief. I only had to go onto the shoulder of the road twice to avoid an idiot in an SUV not checking their side mirrors.
Look twice, save a life.
Ooh.
Number four. A body should really not make that sound, but a Harley should.
All right, that's a good one.
All right, and number five, listen to that hang time. Give me another 40 miles per gallon. Eat that, you four-wheeled suckers.
Wow.
You might do better than 40 miles per gallon. I don't know.
Yeah, my current bike's about 42 to 43, depending on how I'm riding. But nice. I could get 50 if I would do the speed limit.
If.
But are you riding a motorcycle if you're doing the speed limit?
Never.
See?
Well, badass. There's that. Okay. So, I'm excited. Let's get into our first beer from South Dakota.
On it, heavy metal.
Right? Okay, so this one is from Remedy Brewing, which is in Sioux Falls, and it's the Heffy Metal Bavarian Style Hefeweizen, 5.3% ABV. A rock concert for your taste buds. A traditional German-inspired Weizenbier? Ooh, they said Weizenbier. With the loudest flavor you'll ever taste.
I don't know about that, but it's not bad. Well,
okay. Not the style of beer I'd pick for the loudest flavor I'd ever taste, just saying.
Right?
But it's a solid hef.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's got a nice soft mouthfeel, not really creamy, but soft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The banana and clove there, but it's really gentle. It's not being overwhelmed with
it. Why isn't it there heavier? Is that Bavarian versus Belgian or...
I just think if you overdo it, it just kind of distracts from the beer. I like it soft like this. I think this is a pretty good Hefeweizen.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Hefeweizen fan, and this is the kind of Hefeweizen that I like.
Yeah,
because
it's drinkable.
Way too much of the banana and clove is really off-putting to me.
Agreed.
So I think this has mass appeal, you know, as far as a Hefeweizen.
Yeah, I'm really kind of impressed by this because... I don't know what my hang up is about Hefes, but like, it's all clove to me and a little excessive. And for as light and nice and sweet as the beer can be, the clove just kind of ruins it for me.
Yep.
But I do love cloves like with ham and in the fall and like winter, you know, like with food.
I'm glad you mentioned food. Like, what beer or foods pair well with a Hefeweizen?
What fresh roadkill would you want?
Wow.
Pork tenderloin sandwich would go great with this.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah.
Because of that clove, right. it always goes really well with pork and ham.
Yeah. No, I mean, and it does, right?
Because I'm glad he knows the rules of that.
See?
No, but it's a thing. Mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. when I was a kid, I was the clove stabber. My grandmother, yeah. So
you would use the cloves to stab something, or you would stab the cloves.
I would stab the clove into the ham.
Oh.
So my grandmother would make the diagonal, the diamond cuts in the ham. Mm-hmm. And then she told me that I had to take a full clove, and it could only be a full clove, and stab each diamond. Yes. And that was my job. And it would take too long because I would be too focused, and then she would tell me to leave.
It kept you busy, though.
Get out.
Yeah, I was one of those kids.
Weren't we all?
Yeah, always in the way. My poor grandmother. Anyways, this is nice.
So a heffy and a ham. Okay.
Heffy sure. and a ham.
Sure.
Or heffy and any kind of pork. Yeah.
Especially one that's got the clove, noticeable clove in it.
Yeah.
This might actually even go well with like a currywurst.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, sure. Sure. Because you take something that's like kind of on the spicy side, and this would soften it a bit. Yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. But this is very approachable. I don't know that I necessarily agree with the whole, like, metalness of a heffy.
Marketing in a market.
Sure. Yeah, but maybe in South Dakota, we don't have many options.
Well, they don't have many people, so
fracking and pipeline and
it's great. Great play on words though.
Yeah. I do like this. Okay. Yeah. That's a great name.
Yeah, sure. I love it.
So what shall we rate the heffy metal? Oh.
Oh wow. They're
okay. Solid four.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool.
Currently not comparing it to other beers, but comparing it to other heffies.
Yes.
It's really well made.
Yes.
Really drinkable. Yeah.
When was the last time that you had a decent heffy?
Or like, what is your favorite heffy?
Oh,
like what? Okay. What's a, like, if I was just to say, Kendall, what's a good reference heffy? What would you go with to put you really on the spot?
Yeah.
Man, there's not a lot out there.
Well, and
the only one I know that you can always get fresh, it's pretty dependable, is locally here in Nashville, is Yazoo's Heffy, which has been around for 20 years.
Sure.
It's a little more banana forward, but it's always been, it's almost has a little lemony zest to it, and I've always found it a pretty decent Heffy.
The only one I've had, like I said, I'm not a big Heffy fan, but the one from Dovetail in Chicago.
Oh yeah,
was a really
wrong.
Yeah, that was a really good heffy.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Okay.
Oh, I just remembered another one. Live Oak in Austin
probably
has the best in the country.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, there you go.
I like Hoegaarden, but
really,
it's the only one that I enjoy that is obviously very banana and clove, but it's
a lot more Belgian-y.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe it's the yeast.
But I don't know that I've had like that fresh. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure I have either.
No, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, I can only imagine what it's like fresh.
Yeah. Road trip.
Sorry.
Something to
No.
Okay. We will return in just a minute with more beer from South Dakota.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf. Iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today's episode is kind of cool because we're talking about somebody who was kind enough to do some road tripping and bring us back some beer.
KP.
Yay,
thanks, brother.
KP. So for those of you just tuning in, good old boy Dave has an older brother named Kevin, otherwise known as KP.
I have a younger brother too, and we don't talk about
him. Not going to discuss that. No. So KP happened to be in South Dakota and was kind enough to bring us back some beer from South Dakota. So right before the break, we start, we were talking about Remedy Brewing's beer and
Hefty
now,
Metal.
Right, the Hefty Metal. And now we're going to do the Queen Bee Imperial Honey Cream Ale.
This is a tasty beer.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, I wouldn't have thought that a honey cream ale would be something of popularity in South Dakota, but that's my
night. Or at this table.
Actually, cream ales are huge up in the plains and the Northwest.
Really?
Yeah. When I went to Montana, every brewery had a cream ale on top.
I think cream ale is just a good, easy beer, though.
And okay, the same thing, sure. I know in Idaho, Eastern Washington, all those breweries, when I was there, had cream ale. So I think it's just something in that region.
Unless you're making lagers, I think cream ale, creams or blonde ales are the things. Like, if you're trying to drag your non-craft beer friends into a craft brewery,
it's
the blonde or the cream ale that's going to tide them over.
Okay.
You know?
And the cream ale with the corn already has that classic American taste.
Yeah.
It's
oh, and there's a lot of corn sugar. And
Okay. You're in, you know,
yeah.
Corn. Not really corn country, but definitely farm
yeah,
country.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, farm country.
It's fermentable sugars.
A little bit of a slick.
And in the grand scheme of things out there, like, you're not going to have a lot of pilsners per se. So, like, why not? Okay. Well, this is brewed with South Dakota wildflower honey from their friends at Dakota Honey Company.
Which I think that's one of the South Dakota's, like, major exports.
Honey. Yeah. Really? Mm. Okay. This ale is characterized by a subtle honey sweetness. Very true. That comes with a sting in the form of a high ABV. But do you taste the high ABV on this?
Well, 7.3 is
questionably high.
It's questionable.
For a cream ale, sure.
Very high
for
cream ale. Not high for everything else. I think it's a beautiful beer, very well made.
Yeah,
I didn't think all this would work, but it works.
This is one of them. I wish he had brought back a six pack of this, because
this could be a dangerous beer, because I could easily crush a couple of these without even realizing it.
Yeah, right. Right.
And at 7.2, you'd be woo.
30 minutes, you're like, why is my head a little?
Yeah,
yeah. You'd be very comfortable, but this is kind of opened my eyes on what a good cream ale could be, because cream ales for me are one of those in the guidelines that is just really hard, because it doesn't have a lot going on. You know what I mean? And it's not supposed to be like crisp, like a pilsner can be crisp. And I just feel like it's, you know, kind of like that meh style that,
well, you know, Jenny, I mean, that's the most notable.
And I think that's why I'm feeling meh about the whole thing.
So that's your Northeastern version of the cream ale, is the Jenny. So.
Right.
So what would you guys pair this with food wise?
I mean, this could go with almost anything. Just a,
it's pretty open ended.
American lager could go. I mean, just those traditional American foods,
like burger and fries,
burgers.
Yeah, if you're, you know, you're watching even, the game, have some wings or
you know,
like
wings, tacos, pizza, fried chicken.
I'd eat it with some roast turkey.
Yeah, but, it'll go with anything.
Yeah, and that honey sweetness, you know, will probably bring out the meat.
Some
even
of those
more.
Savory flavors too. Yeah,
yeah.
Reading this, I was expecting something closer to say like a hop slam, just without the hops.
But,
it's really pleasant. It's not overpoweringly sweet. I kind of wish maybe I need to get some of this and have a hop slam and then have one of these.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure.
I'm not a fan. Never been a fan of that beer.
Of a hop slam? Really?
No, it's too much.
Okay.
It's a lot.
Agreed.
The super excessiveness. Wow. Okay.
All right.
Well, what shall we Yeah, as if there was a doubt. This is a big five.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, good old boy Dave, I heard there was a rumor that you might have a story of sorts.
Yes, so this is from a news station in South Dakota. Burger Latte brings curious customers to Sioux Falls Coffee Shop. So a coffee shop. So I guess South Dakota was celebrating their Burger Week or Burger Month celebration. And so a coffee shop was, so there's an annual burger battle. So these guys created a burger flavored latte.
A burger flavored latte.
And they have a hot version and a cold version. On each one. So have you guys ever seen like some of the crazier Bloody Marys?
Yes.
Where people will serve like, I've seen like a whole roast chicken.
Cornish game.
Yeah. Things on that. Yeah.
All so, the things.
So they serve like a small burger on a stick with their burger flavored latte.
Ooh. Oh God.
And
that's a thing?
Yeah.
I can get behind small burger on a stick. Burger flavored latte, I'm still... Yeah.
Why would
I would just like a stick with a bunch of small burgers on it because meat on a stick always the way to go.
Sure.
So this is
crystals on a skewer.
Yep.
It's called the Breaks Coffee Roasting Company in Sioux Falls.
Okay.
And they had a couple people come in and they actually said like the cold version tastes sort of like a Bloody Mary. With like pickle and kind of tomato kind of flavors in it. I'm just like, how does that play with coffee though? Like I'm kind of like somebody like good old boy Mike, who's a real coffee connoisseur. Maybe he's way more open-minded. Mike is open-minded.
About coffee.
Yeah. Or anything. But like I have very specific ideas about what coffee should taste like.
Right.
What flavor components. So
it's the Venn diagram of those flavors and burger flavors is not a Venn diagram.
There's not a lot of there's not a lot of crossing
two distinct
over,
circles
right,
there. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I don't know. What do you guys think about a coffee flavored latte?
It's a terrible idea.
It's brilliant marketing. We're talking about it.
It's great marketing, but I would not want to drink it.
Agreed. Yeah.
Just give me the burger. Like Kendall said, give me the burger on the stick. And I think I could get down with that. And then, like, would you even pair coffee with a burger? I don't
know. Absolutely not.
I mean, I could see like some like caramelized onions and like mushroom Swiss burger, like where you like put some coffee in the mushrooms to cook them down. I could see that.
So they put some pickle, garlic, and onion seasoning. And
not even real onion. Mm.
Yeah, in there. So, I mean, I've had some, fruity, like where you get fruit components.
On a semi-related question, is Instagram the end of the Western world?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just double checking.
It's one of the seven seals that are broken? Mm. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that broke one of the seals.
Oh, yeah.
TikTok's the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so burger flavored lattes is welcome to South Dakota.
Do better, South Dakota. Okay.
All right, let's get to another beer. So now let's move to Sturgis, South Dakota, and Sturgis Brewing Company.
Sturgis, home of the famous bike rally.
One of these days I'm going to go. I've never been to Sturgis.
I can't believe you haven't been to it.
Can you go and not be on Harley?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Jerry Springer rode one of those three-wheeled
like bikes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't Harley make some of those?
They loved it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's front trikes and back trikes, but I've owned Harleys, but I've just never made it to Sturgis. But yeah, I mean, anybody can go.
Okay.
But I honestly just want to go ride Sturgis when the rally's not going on because the roads around there are amazing. Okay. It's a great place to ride a motorcycle. I really want to get up there.
Black Hills.
Yeah, up in the Black Hills. Gorgeous part of the country.
I imagine it'd be a great place to go when there's not a boatload of traffic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about the Black Hills Blonde Ale from Sturgis Brewing Company. It is 5.3% ABV. It is light, easy drinking, slight honey and mild nutty flavors, citrus notes, and really easy.
It smells like sweet bread.
I like this beer.
I'd say it's all that. They nailed the description. It's a little sweet. It's a blonde ale. There's nothing fancy about it, but it's a pretty well-made blonde ale, a little sweeter than I normally like, but not bad.
Yeah. And I think it's the honey that's making this like a bit on the sweet side. Like I'm tasting the honeyness, if that makes any sense. Now, fun fact, Sturgis, South Dakota, was named after Samuel Davis Sturgis, who was an officer of the United States Army and a vet of the Mexican War, the Civil War, and the Indian Wars.
Wow.
I know.
So he settled in South Dakota.
He liked war.
And, right.
He was a pretty badass dude.
And fought the Indians and all of them.
And also, maybe a Pennsylvania girl, he was born in 1822 in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania.
And he was like, I got to get out of here. I'll fight whoever or whatever I got to fight to get out of Pennsylvania.
Okay, that was rude. That was very rude.
It was rude. But
no, I mean, he entered the United States Military Academy at 20. So he was born in 1822.
Mm-hmm. He went to West Point.
And in 1842, he thought, oh, heck, I'm just going to.
So he was a contemporary of some, I think Robert E. Lee was in there at the same time. And I say Winfield Scott Hancock.
And Stonewall Jackson.
Wow. Yeah. Imagine there after class parties. Right. And, you know, hanging out, and
those alumni reunions might have been awkward.
Woo, yeah. Hey.
Well,
sorry,
I mean,
sorry about that old Civil War thing.
Well, and interesting that he went on like to be part of that Mexican War and like, you know, and then wind up out there.
Well, like, probably like guys like that, they're like, okay, I've survived this. Now, what's the next toughest thing I can go and, you know, got to find something that's maybe going to kill me. So
go to a land where I'm surrounded by people that want to see me dead.
Yeah.
No.
Well, there's that. And so for those of you that don't know, which is me including, so Sturgis is known for this big motorcycle rally.
Yeah. Like that we, it's like 100,000 people or something show up for it. It's crazy.
Is it that small? I thought it was.
Might be more.
Which, it's, I mean, it massive. Basically doubles the state's population or something like every time they have it.
The first couple of weeks of August. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also there is the Sturgis Motorcycle and Motorcycle Museum and Hall of Fame, which preserves the history of motorcycling in the United States.
I don't know if he still owns it, but the lead singer of Jackal, I don't know how many Jackal fans we've got here in the group, but used to co-own one of the bigger biker bars.
The Buffalo Chip?
No, it was the Full Throttle Saloon.
Okay.
Was the name of it. Yeah.
The other big one.
Yeah. And they would have like dudes riding the motorcycle in the big.
The Circle of Death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are cool.
Circle of Death thing. They did
that
at
the circus. That was fun.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a great fun fact.
Thanks.
Okay. So let's go back to this beer. I like the fact that the cans are just, I mean, you know, when you think of a motorcycle guy, offense, Drew, but there's
solid beard.
Well, yeah, solid beard, right?
It's a hop, hop beard.
Kind of like a hoppy beard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like pretty basic, standard.
Solid blonde.
And a blonde, and interesting now that we've had a cream ale and a blonde ale from
both with
South
honey.
Dakota that are actually, I mean, that are decent, but just sort of interesting that they're not influenced by a lot of hops, you know, from the West Coast or the Northwest. You know what I mean? Okay, so what shall we rate this? A 3.
All right.
Well, there you go.
Good job, Sturgis.
So, next from Sturgis is going to be this Red Cut Amber Ale.
It's the Red Cut Amber Red Ale.
Yes.
Which seems redundant because.
So the Black Hills Brewing has a blonde and a red cut. So I wonder if they make a black. Black Hills Brewing Black IPA. That's what they need to make.
Ooh, well, I mean, that would be great, right?
Brunette brown.
brunette brown.
Baltimore Porter.
Okay, you're trying. I'm reaching. It's not working. No, I mean, no offense.
I mean,
I don't see as many black IPAs anymore. Like
you do in that part of the country.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. It's different up there. I'm telling you.
I love black IPA.
Quite a few. And you know what else is big up there, especially in Montana? Scotch ales.
Really?
Every brewery had a Scotch ale.
Really?
There's one brewery, I think, in Great Falls that their core flagship beer is a Scotch ale.
Is it a weather thing, you think?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a climate or culture.
Like a latitude kind of.
Yeah, you know, but they love those big malty beers up there.
Really?
Huh. Okay. Interesting.
Well, you got to have something to get you through those brutal ass
They're also
winters.
Growing all that barley up there. Montana grows a lot of barley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reasons to visit.
Yeah, makes sense.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about red ales for a minute. This one is 5.6% ABV. Mm. Smooth, slightly sweet, toasted caramel, citrus, herbal, hop aromas. Okay. Mm. So, Mr. Cicero, what do you think of when you think of a red/amber ale?
Kind of all of that. Toastiness, that little bit of caramel. There's a little bit of sweetness going on, but it's not overwhelming. You still have a nice, solid bitterness to back it up because it's still an American beer. You still want that American hoppiness. And it's kind of like a pale ale with the caramel just kind of tweaked all the way up.
Not a West Coast IPA.
Okay. It's still got that toastiness to it. You know, I'm really liking this.
Do you think this style is ever going to come back around? Because it feels like...
Probably not. Red ales will probably never be big. But my gosh, they're so good when they're done well.
And this is... I'm really, really... Right. I'm really enjoying it just for the simplicity of it.
This is a style I'd love to see make a comeback in the fall.
Yeah.
This is a great fall beer. The whole red ale, amber ale thing, it's sad that so many of them have just... disappeared and
because
gone
you
away.
Can, I mean, like, well, like Fat Tire is like the most obvious example.
Well, it's not even the same anymore.
And they ruined
it. That's what I'm saying. Is
but
like,
I mean,
they,
but it was.
Even
it was,
Sam Adams was reformulated. Yeah. You know, the whole amber thing has just fallen off. But when it's done well, they're beautiful
well,
beers.
Plus, like with an amber ale, like if you're a hop head, you could make a hoppier, you know, amber ale for the fall.
Remember but if, the old Green Flash, the hoppy red? I forget what they called it, but it was a hoppy red. Basically a red IPA. It was beautiful.
It was a great beer. Yeah.
These caramel and toasty flavors can play so well with a variety of hops.
Yeah.
And it's a shame you don't see more of
them. It's like people are scared of caramel malt or something. I don't know what happened, but...
I think Killian's destroyed the red ale market, but, you know, maybe that's just me.
Well, the Irish Reds, it's a different beast to me because it's got that... more roastier,
sweet,
you know, kind of like
getting
drier,
the red from roasted barley, actually, as opposed to caramel malts.
Yeah, and it's a different little monster, but I like it. I like those too, though. So, what kind of foods would you guys pair with this beer?
I'm always going to go with burgers or steaks.
Yeah.
Any kind of
this
grilled,
is very gamey.
Grilled red meats work really well with amber
red
beers.
Red meat. Yeah.
Right.
Anything cooked over wood or charcoal with this. Absolutely.
And even roasted meats. And just red meats work really well.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, this is very classy. I think this is... Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well done.
We're going to rate it a 4, and we'll be back in just a minute. It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Mm-hmm. Welcome back, everyone. So today we're doing a little bit of a pseudo road tripping, bringing back episode. Dave's good old boy, Dave's older brother,
KP, Kevin,
otherwise known as KP, was on a road trip through South Dakota and was thoughtful enough to bring us some beer from South Dakota. So we've been sort of meandering through and drinking some beer while we're talking about the state. And honestly, like, so far, I'm kind of impressed at the simplicity, but the quality simplicity of what we've had so far.
That's what's been great is these have been simple beers, not to be offensive, you know, not to offend, but that's a blonde, a cream ale. Some of these are very simple styles.
I think that's that's the true mark of someone who's really good at making beer because, you know, anybody can hide behind a really fancy
adjuncts upon adjuncts.
Whatever. Yeah.
But you can't hide anything in a cream ale or a blonde ale.
Right.
So you guys were talking about the Badlands earlier and like, what's up? So apparently it used to be, at least part of it was a shallow sea in prehistoric times. And so like even now the rocks are eroding at like 1 inch a year, which I don't know anything about
geology,
but that does seem like
that's fast.
That's one of the fastest
erosion. Yeah, that does seem kind of fast. I think
the Nepali coast in Hawaii might be one of the only places that's eroding faster.
Oh, wow.
You know, like if I'm only 5'6". If I was eroding in an inch a year, I mean, that's...
Aren't you?
How dare you?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a cool place.
Son of a... So during World War II, also, the U.S. used to test explosives there. So
you like that.
You do not like... Yes, that's exactly what it sounded like. Yeah.
Nice.
We played an actual clip from a World War II explosives test.
Nice. Okay. All right, well, let's now go to Spearfish,
South Dakota.
Yes. And interesting that both, like, that we're kind of on the western end of South Dakota, and we're going to talk about Crow Peaks.
Oh, somebody told me, like,
cream ale.
One half of the state is, like, not populated at all. Like, only for South Dakota, like, half of it. I think, like, it's weird. Like, the population is so sparsely broken out.
Okay.
There's not a lot of people there.
Yeah, I guess not. Okay, so the history, like, so I didn't really know anything about Spearfish, so I wanted to look that up. The Sioux Indians were, that was their territory. And, this area of South Dakota was like before the Black Hills Gold Rush of 1876. It was just mostly Indian territory, the Spearfish. And it was founded at the mouth of the Spearfish Canyon. So there's a lot of canyons in this neck of the woods. And like visually, just looking at pictures of what Spearfish, South Dakota could be, the mountains are just freaking gorgeous. I mean, I could see why there's a lot of motorcycling in this area.
It's a beautiful, beautiful country.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. Okay, so here's another cream ale. Slightly different than the previous cream ale that we had.
This may be the palest beer I've seen in years.
Yeah, that's like Mick Ultra Light. That it's is very, amazing. Yeah. So pale.
Okay, so in relation to the previous cream ale that we had, this one is 5% ABV and pretty basic, though it is brewed with honey. What do you guys think?
I like this. It's not, I don't think it's as good as the first one we had. There's a little something missing. It's like it needs a little more zip or pop or carbonation, but it's a good beer. But as a cream ale, I want a little more zip out of it.
It'd be interesting to know what the malt bill in this one is versus the other one. Because not darker malts or necessarily. Oh,
this is,
but
I'm guessing this is 100% like pils or pale malt because the color is as pale as you're going to get.
Oh, sure. But also, the other beer that we had was an imperial cream ale.
Not a fair description. You know,
so, right. So it's not, I mean, yes, it's a comparison, but it's not like a big comparison in the grand scheme of things. But as a basic cream ale, I mean, this is why I have a problem with this style. And this is just me, I know. Like, I just always feel like I need to have a little bit more hops in my beer.
Something crisper on the finish.
And this isn't that. And I, like, try to figure out where to place this in the grand scheme of things. So, as our Mr. Cicerone.
I feel like it's a pretty average cream ale. There's some things that I think you mentioned it. You said the zip, the pop, the dryness. There's something they could do that could enhance that. That kind of final finish aftertaste, I think, would improve it. But overall, it's not. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah,
I think we'd all just want a little bit more out of it.
There's like, nothing objectionable.
I think this is a good lawnmower beer. Or
absolutely,
you could drink a lot of this. But I think if it finished a little drier, then you would want to drink more of it.
That astringency would have you go back and back. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's true of so many cream ales. They can finish a little on the sweet side.
Yeah.
So this is not out of character for a cream ale.
No.
In fact, I think it's a pretty good example of one. Just some are better than others.
Stylistically, I think they kind of nailed it. But I think, yeah.
So do you guys consider the cream ale then like an American version of a Pilsner?
In the
sense of like just being something that's easygoing that would go with everything?
Cream ale is a distinctly American style.
And it dates back pre-prohibition, trying to find an ale alternative to the up-and-coming
They couldn't lager things, and they wanted to make it fast and be able to brew it.
And it's always cream ale is traditionally made with a pretty good amount of corn because it was an American style using American grains. And I like cream ales. I brew them myself, but... Yeah, this one just a little more hop, a little more zip, a little more carbonation.
I think you're right. I think a little more
hop would be an amazing beer.
Would be in play here.
But with the cream ale, you have to like toe this line between hoppiness and not like it. You have to show
some people.
Yeah, I mean, you have to show refrain. And so this is showing refrain. Right.
Yeah, this is.
Well, I think it's more about not necessarily finishing hops. I would add a little more bittering hop.
A little more touch it.
Just to make it.
Maybe
a little sharper flavor.
I don't even know if you could taste it, but just one or two little IBU points might be enough to creep this up to where it's like, oh, there's some balance there.
Yeah. Just to cut the edge off that sweetness.
I still don't think it's a bad beer.
No. Yeah,
it's still a
solid three.
Okay. So we are going to rate the Crow Peak Brewing Company Canyon Cream Ale a 3.
Yeah. No, I think this is a good little beer.
Now let's go to, and I'm kind of excited about this. We finally got an IPA in the works.
Yeah.
So this one is 6.5% ABV, and this one is called the 11th Hour IPA.
It smells good.
It smells almost perfumey.
I mean, the color on this is more in my, you know...
Yep, very traditional.
Almost it is
deep gold.
Floral. Wow. Oof. Oh, yeah. This is like, reminds me of like Indian fragrances.
See, I was thinking like geraniums.
Oh, okay.
You know, rhododendron.
Really interesting bitterness on that.
It's kind of West Coast.
Kind of West Coasty, but not quite. You're not getting just huge amounts of pine. There's more like a spiciness to it.
Yeah.
Reminds me a little bit of the the Third Coast, quote unquote.
It's almost
Great Lakes region IPAs.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's almost like if you use like I don't know, like noble hops to hop up a West Coast IPA or something.
Mm-hmm. That's a good that's good. There's something different about the bitterness on this, and I would love to know what they use, but I really like it. It works.
Oh, this is interesting.
This is such a change up from the last few beers.
Absolutely.
This is a nice way to kind of wrap this up, but I like this beer. This is a really cool IPA.
This came from South Dakota?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I really like it.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, really impressed by the whole flight because you're not taking... I mean, granted, you know, this was just... one man's interpretation of what he saw, and he pulled for us. And I mean, who's to say that there aren't any breweries out there in South Dakota that are doing like pastry stouts and like over the top flavors?
Please don't.
But I like the simplicity of this flight in a Americanness of it. Like, if that makes any sense.
You know, can't get more American than Mount Rushmore.
Right? I mean, right.
Both with the people on it and how we acquired it.
No, but... Okay,
fair. Yeah, wow.
I mean...
Right. Hey, we bought
South Dakota from the French. So right. I was just saying.
Well, but I just like the simplicity of what they have. You know, that it's not over the top. And not, again, not to say that there isn't anything over the top out there in South Dakota, but these are just, they're solid for what they are. And this is truly like beer flavored beer that I feel like we've been missing.
Who's this good at brewing beer that wants to live in South Dakota in the middle of nothing?
You know? Right.
I mean, man, this beer, I looked it up. It says it's made mostly with Cascade and Centennial. So,
there you
wow.
go.
Yes. That'll eat your heart out.
They really have found a unique way to add and dose these hops that make them a little different than everybody else.
Right.
I like this.
This is not what I expect from Centennial Cascade, but boy, they did a great job with it.
Yeah, that's not the usual flavors you get out of those hops. That's interesting.
Okay. I mean, and I wonder if their hops are coming from the Pacific Northwest, which is, you know, or whether there's something like more localized for them. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
so, okay. So Kendall, you were going to tell us a story about your grandmother.
Oh, wait, can we rate this beer?
Well, I mean, I guess we can.
Yeah, I'd like to rate this beer.
Yeah.
This is
definitely. This is one of the.
Yeah, this is five.
Most enjoyable IPAs I've had in a while.
And what's really nice about this is that I'm getting away from the New England style IPAs. Mm-hmm. You know, like.
How dare you?
I know. I mean, if you know me, the majority of my family is all like super juicy orange juice. But I feel like my pendulum, my taste palate is starting to swing west again. But this is such a nice balance. It's like sort of leaning in that West Coast, but not the old school Green Flash West Coast.
Well, right. I think Drew said it.
Drew nailed it.
Third Coast.
Yeah.
So I think about some of my favorite IPAs. You're talking Revolution Anti-Hero, Bell's Two Hearted, Fatheads, Headhunter.
Middle of the country.
Middle of the country.
Yeah. Have you tried any of the new Bell's, the like Change of Heart and the Hazy Heart?
I tried the Hazy Heart.
The Hazy
Heart. I was disappointed.
The Change of Heart's pretty decent.
But wow.
Yeah.
This was good.
Experimental Heart's pretty good. Well done, Crow Peak.
Yeah.
Really?
Nice. Very good IPA.
Okay, so you had a story you wanted to tell us.
Well, you know, I've been to South Carolina South Dakota.
Wow.
I've been to South Carolina a few times too.
Yeah. South Dakalaki.
But that's it's a whole different story. I've been to South Dakota a few times as a kid, and that was fun. Once we went out with some family friends, and then a few years later, we went out with my grandparents. So two trips in a row, my parents must have really liked it. But I remember I was about 8 years old. My grandma was about 60. We went to the Badlands, and the Badlands are fascinating. Everybody should go. No water. Nothing really growing. It's desolate. And there's a place where you could like climb up on a overlook to see more of the Badlands. And it's a trail you have to hike up. It was not a hard hike because my grandparents, they were probably about 60 at the time. But, you know, we were in the van. We left all of our stuff, went out hiking, except for my grandmother, who took her giant purse with her. And as you can imagine, you know, thinking about your grandma's purse, it was massive. It looked kind of like a cooler.
You could fit in it.
It was big. She had everything in there. And so we hiked up, and she was struggling with this giant purse. And we get to the top, and we see this beautiful view of the Badlands. And my grandpa asked her, why'd you bring your purse up here? Should have left it in the car. And she's like, I thought there might be a gift shop up here. So there was no gift shop, to the disappointment of my grandmother, but boy, it was beautiful.
Man.
It was beautiful. Badlands are really cool. The Mount Rushmore is pretty amazing. Seeing the, Crazy Horse.
The was richest cool. fossil beds in the world, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
In Badlands National
Park. It's a really cool spot. If you've never been to that part of South Dakota, I think everybody should up there. And I haven't been since I was a child, so I need to go back myself and see it as a grown-up. But
there's actually
cool country up there.
Vault in the back of Lincoln's Head. I don't know if you guys know that.
Really? Wasn't that in Richie Rich?
No, it's true. There's actually documents stored in some kind of... Oh man, I forget. It's like some they're preserved in some sort of way. Yeah,
like a hyperbaric chamber or something.
Well, yeah. So originally, the guy who designed Mount Rushmore was going to do the Louisiana Purchase in the side of the mountain, but that did. Which that seems like that seems very difficult
and hard to get funding for, I would imagine. But yeah. You put some rich people's faces on it.
Yeah.
But sure.
Yeah, go see it for yourself.
Yeah.
Head to South Dakota.
Wow. And is it cheesy that, like, I hear the word Badlands and I think of the Bruce Springsteen song?
Yes.
Yes.
What song?
Anything that leads you to think of Bruce Springsteen is cheesy.
That is so rude.
Well, you know what?
He's not even from Pennsylvania.
He's not even on Mount Rushmore.
That's true.
But New Jersey is right next to Pennsylvania.
If there was a Mount Rushmore of New Jersey rock legends, I would not put Bruce Springsteen
on. He'd be after John Bon Jovi.
What? Yep.
Bon Jovi would be on there.
I would put John Bon Jovi four times and not put...
Oh, that hurts my heart. Okay.
I'm really off track.
Look, I think today's episode was really cool, first of all. I mean, just... The beer that we had was like solid all the way through. And then on top of that, the fact that this was from South Dakota, that sadly, me and my naiveness would say, South Dakota, why would I want to go there? Which is making me wanting to go to South Dakota.
Go there for the nature, and the sights, and the beer.
And the beer, apparently. Yes. Well, that's going to wrap it for today. Good old boy, Kendall. Thanks so much for being here.
It was a pleasure. I had a blast today.
Right. Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Good old boy, Drew. Thanks for being here.
So glad to be here, as always.
Yay! Good old boy, Dave.
Bruce Springsteen sucks! I'm kidding. He doesn't.
Wow.
He really does.
Whatever. This is good old gal, Juliana. I love Bruce Springsteen. And keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back. Join us for another episode. And keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see y'all next time.